What up, y'all? Welcome to the UX and Marketing Podcast. Today, we're talking if you are identifying the consumer's pain, and if you are you doing a suitable job of alleviating it? UX and Marketing Podcast starts right now. All right. So awesome to be on here on the podcast. So great to have you with me. Thank you again for taking time out of your schedule, taking time of your day, or maybe you're not even taking that time out. Maybe you're just doing something, cleaning the house, doing some design work, doing some project work, or maybe you're just simply sitting on the pad by yourself having a beer and you're listening to my voice. Well, I appreciate you giving me the time of your day to listen in and hear kind of what we're doing here. We're talking some user experience and marketing podcast, which, I mean, it's the name, right? I mean, I'm just being repetitive now and I'm just trying to be annoying because that's, you know, simply what I do best. No, but today, as we said off the top, we're going to be talking about, are you identifying your consumer's pain? Are you identifying customer's pain? And are you doing it accurately? And if you are identifying it, are you actually doing a suitable job of alleviating it? But before we get into it, some couple things I want to hit on first. As I mentioned a couple episodes ago, I'm in the midst of trying to find a co-host. And I have to say that we found a co-host, which is exciting. And they will be making an appearance on the next episode of this podcast. So keep your ears open for that one. It's going to be exciting to actually have somebody second person on this podcast. You know, keeping me quiet, keeping me in check, and talking some great stuff. Yeah, we'll go with that. So talking some great stuff, and we'll keep a secret. But obviously, yeah, we're talking marketing. We're talking some how to really do a better job when it comes to your marketing. Are you really going after, as I've reiterated episode after episode after episode, are you putting your consumer first? Which is it's a valid question. But first I want to get into, right off the top, is here, local to here, Halifax, Nova Scotia. As I said, I think maybe actually it would have been last episode, how we don't ever really get nice things in this city, if ever. Because we're such a small population, but we're also a pretty small-minded population. It's such a weird culture in this city, I have to say. We're so, forward in our thinking, progressive in our thinking, but we're also very stuck at the same time. And it's hard to kind of pinpoint where we actually are. It is a really weird situation. But a big news came in the city, whereas, as those who don't know the culture of Nova Scotia, specifically Halifax in this case, and kind of what's been going on here, I mean, there's a duopoly in the grocery sector. There's literally just two companies who do groceries in this city. You got Atlantic Superstore and Sobeys are the only grocery stores in the province, and they compete against each other, which stinks, you know, when it comes out as a consumer, because you don't exactly get the cheapest stuff. So one of those big chains just opened this week that they are actually introducing online shopping for the grocery store. So they're not getting to the point of delivering groceries to your door just yet, but that I'm sure that will come at some point. But right now it's a good step in the right direction where you order online, you pick a time that you're going to come pick it up, and then you just come, you kind of pull up and they have like their pickup spot. You call them that you're there. They come out with your groceries, drop it off in your car, and you drive off. This is huge. This is exciting. This is awesome. Because it's a step in the right direction. It's a step that people are forward-thinking who are running these companies, which companies in the city don't actually have much motivation to be forward-thinking, to be innovative, because there's just not a whole lot going on in terms of competition here. So it's super, uber exciting that one of them took initiative and is actually doing something real cool for the consumer, doing something cool for the customer. But, of course, when you're doing something like this. I mean, if anyone who's been following my Twitter, you saw me, yeah, it would have been yesterday now, go off on one of the radio stations here in Halifax when I overheard a conversation that they were having, which I thought they were having. Apparently, I misunderstood. They set me straight, and they saved themselves from a lashing. But I'm still going to make up somebody imaginary to really go off at when it comes to this, because they, even though it didn't happen the way I thought it happened, it's still a very unimportant conversation, something I need to address. But first things first, so I thought what I thought I heard was someone talk about how this is going to be a waste of time, a service that's going to be a waste of time and no one is going to use, and it's a waste of time and money. And when I heard that, I was like, here we go. That is typical Halifax for you. No one ever wants to think progressively when it comes to, specifically when it comes to technology. And so for someone to come out and make such an ignorant statement, I don't know what age they were. I don't know how old they were. I don't know where they're at in life. I don't know if their dog died, they just came out of a messy divorce, their mom or their dad died, or they lost their job or something. But for someone to make such an ignorant statement, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Something rough must have happened in their life. Because that is so stupid for you to even suggest that that's a bad idea. Maybe I can see from a employee standpoint, I guess it may not be the, you know, it's going to make things a little harder, which, again, I've never worked in a grocery store. I've worked in, you know, retail. I've worked at Sears. I've worked at FedEx office before it went under, here in Canada at the very least. And I, you know, understand the issues and the politics that get involved when you're working for these big companies. And so I can understand if, from an employee standpoint, it makes things a little complicated. But I'm just going to say this, though. I have someone who's worked in retail. There's times where you just do not want to have contact with people because sometimes they're just so dumb. And to those who are working retail who have worked retail, you know what I'm talking about. You feel the pain. It's very real. It's there. But when you're talking to these people, you want to limit. You know, sometimes you just want to limit the contact you have with people because they can just be so raunchy and so annoying. And just disrespectful, simply put. And they just don't get where you're coming from. And they see you as a worker, but they treat you like a slave. And people don't understand that you still have to treat people with respect and dignity, even though they're working at a certain place. But anyways, that's another topic in itself. So if I'm working for one of these superstores that are doing the service, I went into one of the superstores that were conducting the service, and I was watching one or two people go around with these baskets, collecting these items and bringing them to the front. I'm sorry, but that would be I would literally volunteer for that job if I was working in the grocery store. I don't have to I don't have my typical uniform on. I'm focused on doing one thing, and that's grabbing all this stuff, taking it to the front, and dropping it off. And then people come, you drop it off with them. That's the best job. You're limiting all the contact you have with people to like maybe one or two interactions, which is fantastic, I have to say. It's exciting. And so for someone to come on and complain about this type of service, I just tell you, get real. Stop being a punk. Stop. Just think about what you're saying. Because the reality is this. As I tweeted out yesterday, when I heard that statement, it ticked me off. Because it was so ignorant. Superstore is thinking ahead. They're seeing the new world is coming in, and it's swallowing the old world whole. The world that you know, say even 10 years ago, is not the world as you know it now. There is so much that's changed technologically when it comes to businesses. There was very few, there's a lot less bookstores now that Amazon came to town. There's other box stores that are starting to close down. There's not as many of them anymore because of things like Amazon. And you realize the theme I'm hitting on right now is Amazon. If you didn't know, they did purchase Whole Foods not too long ago in the States. Superstore isn't stupid. At least from this move, they're not showing so. It's only a matter of time till Amazon now has Whole Foods under them, try to integrate and penetrate Canada's, the market here. It's only a matter of time. They'll start in Toronto, Vancouver, and then it'll spread to the smaller cities. But it's gonna come. And if Superstore or these grocery stores here just simply wait, you're gonna lose out to Amazon. You will be swallowed whole by Amazon. So smart of them to get this out, because honestly, it definitely, for that fact that they're doing this, there's definitely some difficulties. My wife and I tried it the other night. We did our order, we got there, they said it wasn't ready because they're having computer problems. So it's gonna take some time to get the kinks out. But that's so smart, that's why you start early. So that when the bigger players come into town, you are ready to take them on. Because Superstore knows their audience segment better than Amazon does. So that's one of the edges they have. So if they give, they can't afford to give any leeway to Amazon if they end up coming through here. Because the one thing Amazon will offer that hopefully Superstore will get to, but Amazon will offer it first if they don't get to it, is delivery to your door groceries. Sorry to spit facts on you, but that is just the reality. So Superstore is really stepping up and really thinking ahead. To those who think this is a bad idea, get a clue. Wake up. This is real stuff that we're dealing with here. People's actual livelihoods are on the line. You need to adapt to the world that's around you. Simply put, even myself as a designer, I have to be real. I was in school, I was looking ahead. They're training us to be graphic designers at NASCAD. Do 2D design, business cards, logos, all that jazz, posters, brochures. There was only a small segment of that was actually going to matter 5 years after graduation, and that's logo creation. But even logo creation is not enough going into 2018. There is a theme, or yeah, a theme of sorts, a trend that's overcome the logo design community, and that's motion design. Your logo better animate. It better move when someone interacts with it. It can't just be static. That's the trend that's being set right now. So even logo creation and in a 2D perspective, is it going out of style? So I saw this from afar when I was in school. I saw that things were changing and they were going more interactive. And I had to adjust myself. I couldn't focus on graphic design because that's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to get into 2D design, and so we're learning how to set typography and design logos and do up these posters and this, that, the other, which was cool. It really taught me a lot of design principles that helped me to design for interactive. But I wouldn't be able to make a living off of just doing 2D work because it was going to be swallowed whole. I had to adjust. So I adjusted at the end of my 3rd year. I was going to go more interactive. And it's really funny because I was the only one and the first one and the only one in my class to go in the UX field. And now I've been seeing classmate after classmate, their job titles are just now changing to UX designer, to UI designer. No one's out there designing postcards or brochures anymore. You have to adapt to the world that's around you. And that is the reality. Don't get an attitude about it. Don't cry to me about it. Don't, tell me, oh, you're totally wrong. You're ignorant. You're X, Y, and Z. And, oh man, if anyone pulled the ignorant card on me, I'd go right at them. This is the reality that we live in. This is the world we live in. Adapt, innovate, or die is the mantra. So that's my little spiel to start things off. Just a little after this, we'll get in to how are you identifying your consumer's pain. Ayo, bam, we are back, suckas. We're going to start talking some consumer pain. How are you doing with identifying it? Are you identifying it? Do you care to identify it? These are all questions we're going to talk about today. So, are you identifying your consumer's pain? So you got this great product. It's electrifying. The most amazing product the world's ever seen. Does anybody actually care about it is the question. That's how business works. From what I've understood in my young life, you can only sell something if someone needs it. Surprise! So how are you doing with identifying pain? That was the one thing I remember I'd taken doing a class way back when, where we actually had to go and do like 30 to 40 interviews a week if we were trying to launch a product. And seeing where we land, if what we're trying to solve is an actual thing that people want solved, or is there something else that we need to fix and go after. It was wild. It was fun. But it's difficult. How are you doing with identifying the pain? Do you find that people are kind of like, you'll pitch your product like, oh yeah, I got this thing and that thing and you don't get a reaction out of them. Is that happening a lot? Why? Why do you think that's happening? It's a good question, right? You know, you've put so much effort and so much blood and sweat and tears into this thing, and no one seems to care. That was kind of what I had to go through with that one product I was coming out with when I was kind of near the end of my university degree. We're trying to do something with landlords and real estate agents, and oh man, it was more of a nightmare than anything to really think about. But we're going to people, and people just didn't really care. There's like, I mean, it solved a pain for, say, young people and students who were tenants in these places, and finding out what landlords are bad and good and yada yada. But it didn't solve a pain on the other side for the landlords, who are also having bad tenants. You know, and it was really hard to figure out. And again, I ended up abandoning the project just because it was too difficult. So that's where, you know, I wasn't doing a good job of, you know, identifying the pain. But as I grew here with What's On, and as we're trying to figure out products that are solving issues specifically in the medical sector, we've had success. We ask customers, hey, are you having an issue with going through a thick PDF to look for your sessions? Yes, that absolutely sucks. And I'm like, yeah, that's a real pain, and we try to solve that. And by try, we do. We do solve that. Just a couple clicks of the button, you have all the sessions right on screen, right at your fingertips. And then you're set. You set your schedule, and you are set for your conference. That's what we try to solve. Or we do solve. But it can be definitely an issue. So you're doing that, you know, you design that project, you design that product, and no one seems to be latching onto it. This is where morphing and bending and trying to see where the attention is really key. You got to really differentiate, are you being romantic or are you being logical? When you're being romantic, that's when things go downhill real quick. Because it's like, oh man, it was this great idea at this one point in time, and I thought it was awesome. My mom thought it was great. My brothers and my sisters thought it was amazing, and even my best friend was like, dude, this could actually be something. But those are the only people who thought it was worth something. And that's just a reality. How are you doing with identifying the pain, as I'll keep asking. When you ask the question, people, I asked at the top, are people excited when they hear about your product or hear about your idea? If you're not getting a reaction, then it's time to bend. And this is where it comes down to user-centric products. Say you get that reaction and just be real, be bold. Hey, this is the product I'm given. Why? You don't seem pumped about the idea. Why is that? Like, ask questions. But the reason why we don't want to ask questions is because we don't want the truth. We don't want the answer. So you present your product and the person's like, cool. And he's like, hey, then asking why? Why are you not pumped about this? Why do you not see a need or use for this? It's a real question to ask. But are you ready for the answer? Because the answer is, dude, there's 20 different types of these. I don't care. But bam, that's huge. That would be huge info to find out that the person doesn't really care because there's already so many different types of whatever you're offering out there. So what are you doing to make it different? And that's why you keep asking questions. Are you solving the pain? You gotta be a people person. There's a reason why business has the name it does of being sleazy. Because you got a lot of jabronis out there who've done a lot of stupid things because they're chasing the dollar. And they're not chasing the quality. They're not chasing what is going to make a product successful. As long as they can do enough to maybe make some money off it, that's what matters. But in the end, you will always lose. So identify the pain. Ask the questions. Ask the hard questions that you don't want to know the answer to. That is the key. And people will be real with you. Ask them what they think. Because it's amazing. When you ask people what they think and give them an option to give their opinion, it's amazing how open and real they'll be with you, isn't it? It's scary, downright scary sometimes. You don't want to know, but it's real. And then from there, you can be like, hey, then what? Okay, if this is the same thing as X, Y, and Z, then what about this? Why don't you actually use those other products that often? That's a good question. Well, X, Y, and Z. Cool. I love that. All right. What if I added this to my product? Would that put it over the edge? What if I added this or this, that feature? And the person starts nodding and getting excited. Then you know you're on the right track. But you will never know the pain unless you ask the questions. As I said a couple podcast episodes ago, do you care more about glorifying yourself or helping your user or your customer or consumer feel like a champion? What are you doing? These are all keys to really think about. So that's one thing. Are you identifying the consumer's pain? Are you asking the questions, the right questions? Because it's also easy to ask the questions that are kind of fluff. You know what I mean? Like, do you like it? Yeah, man. I think I like it. Yeah, cool. And then you leave it at that because you don't want the real stuff. You know, and everyone will say they like it because they want to be nice. Because that's the tough thing. You could even ask the top, you know, hey, what do you think of this? Like, oh, yeah, I think it's cool and stuff. And it's like, and then you leave with that. And it's like, well, that person thought it was cool. I don't know what the problem is. And it's like, no, they weren't being real. You gotta understand, people are fake. They don't want to say the real thing unless you push them to. And are you going to push them to? That is so key. You got to push people to be honest. Help them understand. Help them feel comfortable being real with you. That's not going to hurt your feelings and make you go cry. Because you need the truth in order to help them better. Too many people out there are romantic in their idea. Glorifying themselves. It's not going to do them any good. It's not going to get a product that's going to help people. And you might buy some time with some, you know, VC money. But it's just not going to go anywhere and you'll be toast. That's just the reality. But say, let's transfer over a little bit. Say you do, you know, find the consumer's pain. How are you doing with alleviating it? Are you alleviating it? Is it making a difference in their lives? Is it one of the things they're going to for help? It's amazing when you realize that, you know, when you have a product that actually alleviates someone's pain. Again, this one's tough because you can give an idea, and I've seen this before. You can give an idea and show how your product works, and people get excited about it. They get pumped. Then they use it for a couple of days, maybe a week, max, like maybe 10 days. And they're just like, man, this thing isn't what I thought it was going to be. That hurts. That stinking hurts when you hear that, eh? Oh, man. It was a cool product when you talked about it, but man, it was, you know, it just wasn't what I was expecting it to be. And again, you're back to where you were starting off, identifying the pain. Okay, what did you expect out of this? Why do you think it would have been, how do you think it could have been better? What does this thing need for you to want to use it all the time? What does it need? Just asking questions is huge. And again, it's simple. It's so stinking simple. And we don't want it to be that simple. We like to make things complicated. We like to make issues of things because we want to cover up our excuses. Or shall I say, cover it up with excuses. We just want to cover up what the real issue is. But you got to ask questions. Now, times I've had friends and people come out to me, complain to me about, you know, even schoolwork. Like, oh man, so many essays, man, this is ridiculous, you know. And I'm like, the amount of time you're spending complaining about this instead of just getting it done, that bothers me. That's annoying. Anytime anyone just complains about stuff, just get out of my face. Stop wasting time complaining and do something about it. It's just the amount of times I've had people come up with me that, like, it's just so hard for me to empathize with them. Cause I'm like, bro, I feel you, man. Sometimes life sucks. Sometimes the office isn't, you know, a booming or zooming with the stuff you want to get done. Sometimes school is just dull. But don't cry about it. Don't complain. Just get work done. Get focused. Enjoy life. And the same thing comes back to your product. How are you doing with selling it? Are you seeking the answers for the real questions? Or is it just too hard for you? And if it's too hard for you, then I got this for you. Get out of sales. Get out of marketing. Stop being an entrepreneur. Just end it. Just stop. Go work at the grocery store. Because they need some help with the online shopping, apparently. Life stinks sometimes. But as long as you're doing something you love and you're passionate about it, you don't mind the pain. You don't mind the punches to the gut. Because you know that you'll get back up. You'll do something great. And it may take 5, 6, 7 times. Or more. But it'll come through. Same thing happened with our product mapped here at What's On. The amount of times I had to redesign that product. Absolutely ridiculous. But it's finally got to a point where we actually have consistent users, many users using it now. And it still has a ways to go. But it's doing so well. And it just took a lot of perseverance. A lot of punches to the gut. Going to these events and conferences myself as a designer, asking people about what they thought of this product. And it's tough because when they know that you're the designer, oh man, that's when I felt it the most. People just, you know, trying to be nice. Oh yeah, it's like nice. That's pretty cool. I like the icons. Yeah. No, but like, come on. Like, do you actually need this? Or is this a joke? Like, is this just a fad? It's just this, are you going to actually use something like this? I had to be real. I had to be blank real, very point blank real with these people. I'm like, I don't, I'm not here for you to be nice. I'm here for some real feedback. Why is it cool? Why is it nice? Oh, it's just because the colors are nice? And that's not good enough. Does this solve the issue? You told me you don't want to be searching through a PDF that's 5 inches thick, a booklet. So what will it be to help you find the sessions that you need? But again, thank you so much for your time. So grateful to have you again here with me on this podcast. Again, if you have any questions or concerns or anything you want to debate, please hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, email me at josh@whatson.com, WATZAN. And we'll continue the chat and we'll keep going forward. Thank you so much. Have yourself a good night, good morning, good afternoon. Check you on the flip side.